The word today is murder. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Murder is one of the worst sins because human life is so precious. The Bible teaches that the penalty for murder is death, but even a person who has murdered can be forgiven. How can both be true? Here to answer that question is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Murder.
We're going to talk about a very difficult topic, and that's the topic of murder. One of the things that makes this a very difficult topic is the fact that it's about law and punishment. And there's normally not a lot of discussion about forgiveness when it comes to murder. But as Christians, we certainly can focus on God's ability to forgive all sins, including murder. We're going to explore that a little bit more. And as a passage to get us going, I'd like to look at Leviticus chapter 24. It says this: If anyone takes the life of a human being, he must be put to death. Anyone who takes the life of someone's animal must make restitution, life for life. If anyone injures his neighbor, whatever he has done must be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has injured the other, so he is to be injured. Whoever kills an animal must make restitution, but whoever kills a man must be put to death. You are to have the same law for the alien and the native born. I am the Lord your God. One of the things that was really disheartening for me was when I was reading a book about medicine as it is practiced in North America, where I live, and the author, who is a doctor, said that murder rates really have not been going down. Actually, they are rising, but the reason why there's less murders is because emergency room medicine has gotten better, and they are able to save more lives of people who otherwise would have died. And I just kind of thought, isn't that the way it goes? We would think that there would be less hatred and killing, hopefully, but in reality, the hatred and killing is increasing. And maybe you live in a country where you have seen much bloodshed, and it is very disheartening to see societies that are full of hatred and animosity. Well, as Christians, we have to deal with these topics. And when it comes to murder, I have a very clear position, and it is based partly on Leviticus 24. It is also based on the scriptures in the book of Romans in the 13th chapter that talks about the government bearing the sword, punishing lawbreakers. And my position is very simple, and that is that I am for capital punishment. I believe that an individual who takes another human's life, who murders them without any provocation and without any reason, should be put to death. In fact, I believe that there are three categories of people that I would have no problem seeing receive capital punishment if the law could determine that they were authentically guilty. One would be pedophiles. I think it is despicable and disgusting for any human to take advantage of children in this fashion. Another would be rapists. I believe that anyone who would force himself upon a woman and violate her against her will should suffer punishment. And so, frankly, my laws would be extremely strict. They would be very much in line with the laws of God in the Old Testament. Now, there is always the question, you know, what about forgiveness? Isn't the Christian supposed to forgive? We'll talk about that in just a moment. But one of the things that I want to point out in regards to this law from Leviticus is that there is what's called this law of retaliation, that whatever was done to the other person must be done to the criminal or the person who had inflicted the damage. What it says here is that it's fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Many people misunderstand this law, and they think of it only as being harsh and judgmental, as just extending the violence. But in reality, this law was given by God to limit revenge, because there is within humans and in our sinfulness a desire not just to get even, but to get the upper hand, to get the top position, and to pay back more than what was done to us. That's what happens when sin gets in there and violence is sent over to the other party, when we return violence in kind. And so this law was meant to limit the response to a person's crime and to his violence. It is equitable. If a person has done this to someone else, this must be done to them. And of course, the ultimate expression of it is capital punishment. Well, that's the government's responsibility. Oh, and by the way, let me just state this also. The scriptures are extremely clear on the fact that animal life is not held to the same level as human life. If an animal is killed, you replace the animal. If a human is killed, your life is required. This upholds the sacred nature of life. So many people in the world today believe in evolution, which is a philosophy and can't be supported by science. It has major scientific errors and holes in it. But people that believe that end up thinking that we are just like animals and that we somehow are related to them. And so they elevate animal life and at the same time degrade human life. This is really a shame, because God made us unique to be in a relationship with Him, to be in His image. And that is why there is this ultimate punishment for someone who would murder a human. Human life is incredible, and it is far more precious than animal life. And we certainly don't want to equate the two. Now, when it comes to the topic of punishment of murderers, it's the government's responsibility to punish them. It is not the individual's responsibility to get revenge. In Romans chapter 13, it says that the government bears a sword. Let me read this for you. It says that everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. You see that reference there to the government bearing the sword. I often say that swords are not used for tickling. They are used for tearing. The sword is a symbol of the power of the government to execute criminals, to exercise capital punishment. It is not the responsibility of the Christian to do this, but the government. And so if you're a godly person and obey the laws of the land, you should not need to fear. But of course, when someone has violated God's will and the government's, then they should be afraid. So many cases nowadays, people are not afraid of the consequences of crime. The fact is that there is a difference between consequences of sin and forgiveness. And the consequences, especially in the case of murder, should be swift and they should be severe. The person's life should be required. This is where Christians sometimes get confused, because they think, well, why shouldn't we forgive the person? And if we forgive the person, then why are they still being punished? Well, the answer is that because the government punishes, it does not in the business of giving forgiveness. It is in the business of upholding the law. And I agree with this. And Christians need to see that when someone has committed a sin, be it a lie or stealing or murder, there are consequences that they will have to live with. And those consequences are not just erased because someone is forgiven. Now, here's the amazingly good news, that we can be forgiven. You see, if God was all law and not merciful, we would be in real trouble. If God did not have forgiveness in his heart toward his children, then we would never be found innocent and we would never be able to receive eternal life in heaven. But because God is merciful, he sent his son Jesus to acquire our sins, to take them on himself, and to be punished in our place, to suffer the punishment that should be ours. That can even include murder. Not that I'm advocating murder or sins, but yes, even murderers can be forgiven when they turn to the Lord Jesus. I think of one of the most notorious cases was Jeffrey Dahmer, who was in the city of Milwaukee, who killed 17 men and boys over a period of years. When he was in prison, it said that he turned to faith in Christ. Could he be forgiven? Yes, if his faith was sincere. And as Christians, we need to look at that not from a perspective of, well, how could he get away with all that, but from the perspective of heaven, which is that one more was plucked from the flames of hell and saved for eternity. You see, we all deserve God's punishment. The consequences may vary, but we have to put up with the consequences of our sins in this life. However, we can be forgiven, and we need to praise God that even murderers, even the worst of sinners, can come to the Lord Jesus and find his mercy and grace. Let that encourage you to turn from your sin and to come to God, because you will not be condemned, but you will find forgiveness in the name of Jesus and eternal life.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.